In the meantime, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to finish off what we've been talking about during this these last few Sundays, talking about wisdom, talking about the importance of wisdom. We started off in Proverbs chapter 24, talking about how it was wisdom that buildeth a house. And when we were talking about that, we were referring to, if you will, individuals that might be looking at potential spouses, people that are thinking about getting married. And it's kind of been geared a little bit to the young people in that regard, because that's the main example of why we're talking about this, about what wisdom building a house. If you want to move on in your life and have it to be for the Lord and be one that is pleasing unto Him, then you want to make sure that what you're doing is in His will. And one of the biggest questions that we can ask ourselves is this: is my spouse the one that I am supposed to marry according to the Lord? And to ask those questions. You know, the biggest decision we'll ever make is trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The next biggest decision that we're going to make is going to be, who are we going to have as our spouse? There are other questions that are big that do occupy some of our mind, and they kind of come up in various different times. But I'll tell you this, finding a spouse is something that is a very, very, very big decision, because it's going to have an impact in the rest of your life. So you have to make those determinations about what is the will of God. Can I divine the will of God? Do I know what the will of God is? What is it for me? And we've been talking about that. We've been relaying it to wisdom here in chapter 2 and seeking it. And when we go about doing those first things that we establish in the first four verses here about obtaining wisdom, seeking wisdom, getting that wisdom, one of the things that we see is that there's something that the Lord will do. When we ask for that wisdom and we are actively getting that wisdom through the Word of God, God will do something. And what does He begin to do? He begins to show us, hey, this is the path that I want you to go on. This is the direction that I want you to be. This is how I want you to make this decision, and I will reveal these things. I will show them to you. I will show you who the evil man is. I will show you who the strange woman is. I will show you why that is not, for you, and what's going to be happening, what the consequences are. We talked about that last week, and now we're going to talk about the main reason about why we need that wisdom. We talked about it building the house, but the Lord reveals in chapter 2, one of the most important principles about it is what it shows. When we seek after wisdom, and we get the wisdom the way that the Lord tells us to get it, not the worldly wisdom, but the wisdom that is from above, from Him, and we see what God does, and He reveals to us, it becomes very evident and very clear why God is giving us that wisdom, why He's showing that to us. As we get into this message a little bit more, let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into the last part of this chapter, and we'll see what God is showing us from His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for this time. Thank You again, Lord, for opportunity, Lord, to truly see what You have for us, to truly see and understand the reason why we need wisdom and what it keeps us from. And Lord, again, I just thank You for all of these blessings that You've been giving to us over the last few weeks with these passages. And I pray, Lord, that as we conclude this, that it'll be very clear, it'll be very evident, this is what we need in our Christian life. We need Your wisdom. If we are to be expected to build according to Your will, Lord, it is made very clear to us that You have the expectation that we use the right building materials, that we build upon that foundation of Christ in a way that is pleasing and honoring to You. Pray, Lord, that whether we're young or whether we're aged, that, Lord, we would use these principles to find Your will in Scripture, to find Your will for our life, in our day-to-day decisions, sometimes small, many times great, with great consequences. But Lord, that we would always seek your wisdom through your word as you promised, and you would show us that right path. Thank you again for all that you've done for us. In this I ask and pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here in this last part, we're going to back up just a little bit to verse 10 where he says, when wisdom entereth unto thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And we see exactly this promise that God said. When wisdom's there, here's what's going to happen. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. This is a promise. So when we apply that wisdom that God gives us and we use it the right way, then here's what happens. God will show us what is wrong and what is right. God will reveal to us, that is going to be a bad decision, that's going to be the right decision, this is the consequence of that, and this is the consequences of that one over here. We begin to see that. We begin to realize, hey, the Lord is teaching me something. The Lord is showing me really, truly how I can live a life that is pleasing unto him. But here's the reason why God does this. When you're teaching a child, or maybe you're teaching or training somebody at a job or something of that nature, many times you need to show them the consequences of the decisions they make. You're training a child. You need to teach them, don't take the cookie because I told you don't take the cookie because you're going to ruin your dinner. How many of us have heard that? Don't eat the dessert or you're going to ruin your dinner. And then we became an adult and what do we say? I'm going to eat dessert all day. And then when we have kids, what do we tell them? Don't eat the dessert. It's going to ruin your dinner. You know, we reiterate that thing. But here's the idea behind it. When we teach them that, we want to show them what the consequences of the action is. What the consequence is going to be. And this is what God shows us here. This is why wisdom is important. This is why God has promised he will do these things. Because he wants us to avoid certain people. Young people, when you are looking for somebody that the Lord is going to provide for you as a spouse, here is how you know. If they fit the qualifications that we're about ready to read here, this is somebody you need to run from. Because what it leads to is a lack of growth in your life. It leads to death. It leads to, if you will, diminished capacity. It leads to a life that you don't want to live. Look at what he says here. He says, this is why this discernment, discretion is going to preserve you. This is why understanding is going to keep you. And what is it? To deliver thee. Let me emphasize that, to deliver thee. If wisdom is used, it will keep you from making that bad decision. That's a promise. We got to believe God at his word, right? That's what faith is all about. We believe God at his word. He's promised he's going to do this. And what does he say here? This will deliver. If you've got that discretion, discretion, as he says here, and understanding, here's what's going to happen. It will show you and it will deliver you from that. You won't have to go through it. And I want everybody to understand this. You don't have to make a bad decision. God wants to deliver you from making a bad decision. Amen. If you just use the word of God, he will deliver you from making a bad decision. You're like, well, is it really that simple? Yeah, it kind of is. If I use the word of God as the light unto my feet and the lamp unto my path, I might have that reversed, you know, the little dyslexia there. But I will say this, if it's used in that way to light what is where my feet are going, I will tell you this, very clearly it will keep me on the right path and off the wrong one. You know, there's a reason they put headlights on cars. so you can see where you're going. You ever drive a car where the headlights are just kind of, you know, somewhat iffy? And they're really dim, and you're sitting there, and you're just squinting at the road, and you're trying to drive, and it's hard. You don't know where you're going. There was one time we were driving to the coast, and we were driving at night, and we're driving to the, you know, over that coastal range, and there was a thick fog. I mean, you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. I couldn't see the road. I'm driving on Highway 20, you know, 6 out there, and I'm driving about 35 miles an hour. I'm afraid I'm going to get rear-ended. Why? Because I don't know what's going on. I'm using the reflector strips on the road to drive every foot, trying to make sure I don't drive into a ditch or, you know, whatever it is. And that's with the headlights on. It was scary. Not knowing where you're going. And I'll tell you this, you know, people paint a picture of life being scary. It's, you know what? Life isn't scary if you've got Jesus Christ helping you.
Right.
You know what he does? He gives you peace. Even when you're going through some of the worst situations you've gone through, you can have peace and joy with Jesus Christ right there giving you that comfort as you're going through it. And I will attest to that because I've gone through it recently. But here he says, look, to deliver thee. You don't have to make that bad decision. To deliver thee, as it says here, from the way of the evil man. Ladies, pay attention. There is a man out there that is evil.
Yeah.
And he wants to destroy you. Now, I'm not talking about the devil. I'm talking about the parasitic creatures that call themselves men. The ones that get my ire up, the ones that I don't like, the ones that just really, truly just make my skin crawl.
President?
And not quite. There's some worse. But I'll tell you this, when we look at this here, he says, these individuals, he says, to keep you from the way of the evil man. And specifically, I want you to notice, it's the way. They will lead you down a path you do not want to go.
Right.
Because the end of it is destruction. So, you know what he's saying? He's saying, ladies, you don't have to make that decision.
Yeah.
You don't have to make that decision. This is what he's trying to do. And he says here very, very clearly, he says, the way of the evil man, the man that speaketh froward things. The frowardness is that perverseness. They're speaking things that we know we ought not be listening to. Things that are against what God says. Ladies, if somebody is trying to lead you down a path of sin and saying, oh, it's okay. Oh, don't worry about it. Oh, we won't tell your parents. Oh, nobody has to know. That is frowardness. And you know what happens? If you have the wisdom of God from the Word of God, you know what's going to happen? Bells and whistles are going to start going off. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go, wait a second, that's not right. God says I shouldn't do that. You're telling me I should do that? You're not the right man for me.
Yeah.
You're not the will of God for my life. And don't fall for the, I love him.
Right.
Love the Lord first before you try loving that man. You love the Lord first, he will keep you from that man that really doesn't love you at all.
Yeah.
You know what he does? He loves himself.
Yeah.
He loves himself. He's the narcissist that preys on the empath. He's the guy that's the abuser. He's the guy that has one thing on his mind. He's the guy that is not right for you. God says he'll deliver you from that. When wisdom enters. When wisdom enters. And I want you to notice here. He gives us these traits that you can use to begin to discern. Now, these kind of go both ways for men and women, all right? But I want you to see here, if you've got somebody that is speaking froward things, things that are perverse, things that are contrary to the Word of God, the answer is no. And what I'm talking about, the question is this person the will of God for my life? Does God want me to marry this person? And if they're speaking froward things, the answer is no. Next thing is, it says here in this verse 13, it says, who leave the paths of uprightness? If a person is wanting to do something that is not right, but is wrong, that person is not the person you should marry. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying if they do not do things righteously, they're not going to treat you righteously. This is wisdom, God's saying. Look at their patterns. Look at what they do. If they're not upright in what they do, if the guy you're looking at all of a sudden says, hey, I found a way I can cheat on my taxes, not the guy for you. Hey, I found a way that I can steal something from my employer, not the guy for you. Why is that? Because that individual, I will tell you this, will treat you the same way. They'll treat you the same way. Next thing you know is he's stepping out on you. He's unfaithful. He's not being faithful to God. Notice the next part here. He says to walk in the ways of darkness. You ever get around a person and all of a sudden it just seems like the light goes out? It's just dark. I'll tell you this, the Bible says that those that hate wisdom love death. If the person is obsessed with death, that person is not the person for you. If that person is in darkness and doing dark things and walking in darkness, that person isn't the person for you. Believer, if it's somebody that is involved in witchcraft or necromancing or any of those things that have to deal with spirits and they start playing around spirits, start waving sage around and doing things like that, the answer is no. Those type of people, God says to stay away from. You don't want that in your life. Because trust me, you don't want a door open to the spirit world. You don't want to see what's on the other side. There's a veil there for a reason, as I say. Because if we actually saw what went on in the spirit world that was around us, we would probably just pass out and die. Because the stuff that's described in scriptures, some a little bit of it that's there, is terrifying enough. But here he says very clearly, remember this. If they're in darkness, meaning that they don't have the light of the Word of God, they don't have the light of Jesus Christ because they're not saved, that man is evil, stay away from him. Stay away from him. Verse 14, here we continue on in this, you know, here's the evidence of why this person is contrary to God, why this person has a contrary spirit. He says, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they're froward in their paths. Again, everything about them is perverse. Everything about them is cheating. Everything about them is trying to get something at all costs or whatever it may be. These are the type of individuals that God says, that's not the right man for you, ladies. You don't want a guy that isn't going to do a hard, honest day's labor that is sitting there trying to figure out how to get ahead by manipulating and playing the system and gaming things. You don't want that, because that never lasts. You don't want the situation of, oh, well, you know, he's a bank robber, but I love him. No. No, you don't. You're lusting.
Yeah.
It's not love. Because God is love. And if a person is contrary to God, you can't love them the way God tells you to. We have to understand that. The same goes with the men too. If you find somebody that is rejoicing to do evil, you find a lady that is doing that and is delighting in doing wickedness and perverseness, that is not a lady you want to marry. That is a woman you want to stay away from. Because she will drag you down. We have to understand this. Those type of individuals that, you know, the term that we use in the world, they're boat anchors. And we're not talking about boat anchors in the way that we anchor into Christ. We're talking about boat anchors as in you're tied to the boat anchor and the boat anchor is going down and you're going down with it. Not to secure your position in God, but to bring you down and drown you and destroy you. This is what God's saying. He's saying the person that delights in those things, a person that is delighting in sin, a person that is delighting in stuff that is contrary to the Lord, is not the person that is God's will for your life. The wisdom is there to keep you from this person, to deliver you, to deliver you. Guys, pay attention. Verse 16. To deliver you, to deliver thee. Again, to deliver thee. God wants to keep you from that. Do we understand that term deliverance? It means that you do not have to go through it. You are spared and saved from experience. Deliver. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Strange. Now, a strange woman is somebody that the Lord talks about in Scripture as an individual that very clearly does not have a familiarity with God. Is a stranger to God. God is a stranger to her. That is not a person you want to marry. That is a person you want to avoid. Because what does he say here? This strange woman, he says, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You got to be careful with this. Guys, you got to make sure what they're talking, what they're saying is truly godly. If they're trying to puff you up, they're trying to flatter you, they're looking for something. In this day and age, we've got all sorts of terms for individuals like that. Sometimes we call those type of women gold diggers. They're looking for something. You know what they're looking for? They're not looking for love. They're looking for a paycheck. They're looking to manipulate you and to get you to do what they want you to do and then get tied to them and then, if you will, milk you for all you're worth. You know what? Your life becomes miserable. I mean, we know this stuff happens. You know what God's saying? If you follow after the wisdom, if you go for the wisdom and you see what God's going to do and you see all of these things that God has promised and he shows you this, then you don't have to make that decision for what is wrong. You can make that decision for what is right. Understand this, you have the free will to choose, but you do not have the right to choose the consequences. If you choose what is wrong, you will suffer the consequences. You don't get to choose to say, no, I'm not going to have those. There will be consequences. God teaches us that through Scripture. He says, which flattereth with her words. You know what that means? It's lip service. It's lip service. You don't want to marry a person whose heart isn't in it. That they're just all talk. And it's shallow talk at that. You want somebody that's genuine. You want somebody that's real, as the world would call it. You want somebody that is true. Flattery is just a means of, if you will, lying to get what you want. And the Lord makes it clear you need to watch those people and you need to avoid them. And certainly, you need to be delivered from them. Take a look at what he says in verse 17. He says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. At the beginning of this, I said, you know, gone are the days when we could say, well, you know, he's a good man, you know, he's a good young man because he attends youth group. And, you know, he's a, she's a good Christian lady because, she comes to Sunday school class. Those days are gone, okay? Because in this day and age, there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. We got to be careful. We have to be able to discern. We have to be able to watch out for those things. And look, if somebody has, as it says here, forsaken the guide of their youth, talking about God, if it's somebody that grew up in church, but now all of a sudden, church isn't their thing, if they've grown up in church and they know the Bible and all of a sudden they're trying to go through that process of what they now call the deconstruction of their faith, you know what you need to do? You need to pray for the Lord to provide somebody else, because that person is not the person you want. You want to avoid that person. You know what you want? You want a person that loves the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You want a person that loves the guidance that is provided by the Word of God. Why? Because look, guys, if you find a woman that's like this, she is not going to do you any favors. I often relate the marriage to this. You know, obviously the Lord has instituted a hierarchy in marriage. He says the man is the head of the house, but that doesn't mean that the wife is to be slighted in any way, shape, or form. She has a job that is just as important. And as a keeper, at home, you know, what she's supposed to be doing there as that guard, you know what she's like? Let's just put it in the kind of like a ship. Guys, you may be the captain of the ship, but she's a navigator telling you, hey, you need to avoid this. You need to avoid that. There's a storm over there. There's this over there. Why? Because you're busy, you know, muddling around with all the people on deck and so on and so forth. And she says, hey, this is the direction to go. I see this is clear. This is the path. You want to listen to that. You want to heed that. You want to follow that. You want a godly woman that's going to do that, that's using the right maps. You ever get in the car with somebody that has absolutely no idea where they're going and they're the ones that are trying to get you to where you're supposed to go? That sits there and says, well, I think we turn right here. Is it a think or is it a no? Because I'm getting ready to stop and turn. And you're like, I don't know. And you pass the turn and you're like, yeah, we were supposed to turn there. And you're like, oh. You know, so an individual that's leading you down a path and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, I know a shortcut. You ever have anybody that says, hey, I know a shortcut? An hour later, you're like, wait a second, where are we? It used to be they'd pull out the Thomas Guide. You guys remember the Thomas Guides? For those of us that were pre-GPS, open it up and look at it and go, and they're flipping the pages and they're going, and then they go to the back and they're like, things like that. Or maybe it's the one nowadays where they're looking on the phone and they're like, well, the lady's saying to turn right. And you're like, there's a brick wall. There's a cliff. There's a lake. Well, that's what the lady says. Well, maybe she's wrong. You know what? You want somebody that knows those things. You want somebody that is understanding the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word of God. You don't want somebody that forsakes that. The Lord says, I'm going to deliver you from that if you use wisdom. And you know what else he says here? He says, to deliver thee, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. You don't want a lady that has been in church, guys, and then all of a sudden says, I don't want to be in church anymore. You don't want a lady that has said, well, you know, I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was younger, but, you know, I'm not even sure I believe that anymore. I'm done with the whole Christianity thing. Look, don't try to marry a person to change that person, okay? You let the Holy Spirit do it. Don't try to do His work. You know what? He does it far better than we ever could. That's His job. His job is conviction, correction, and guidance and teaching. Let Him do that, okay? He may use you to do that, but look, that doesn't mean that, hey, I'm gonna rescue this person. Look, they're not a puppy dog to be rescued, to be trained and to be taught. That's a dog. We're talking about, somebody that's gonna be with you for the rest of your life. You know what God says? He says, I want you to make the right choice here. Don't have somebody that's forgotten God. Don't make that choice and decision. I see so many times people, you know, marrying people and trying to change them. Look, here's the situation. You know, God talks about it in the Bible. There may be a situation where somebody, you know, two people marry and the one person trusts Christ as their Savior. And the other person is not saved. They're not believing in Jesus Christ. Well, that doesn't mean you up and divorce them. You know what you do? You be a witness to them. That's what the Bible says. Be a witness to them. Show them Jesus Christ. They're your mission field. If they're content to dwell, the Bible says let them dwell. And you know what you do? You just show them how much you love God. You show them that He is that important. And they may say, well, hey, you love God more than me. And you go, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And you know what you tell that individual? You say, look, I love God more than you. Because if I don't, I will never know how to love you the way that you need to be loved. The more I love God, the more I love you. God has a plan. God has a direction for our life. God has the way that we need to go. And all we do is we just take this wisdom that He gives to us and we begin to use that, and He shows us and reveals these things, and we realize, hey, He has a plan. He has a purpose behind these things. And we're talking to individuals right now that are in the, you know, on the verge of making these decisions. But there's many of us in here that have already made those decisions. I'll tell you this, you know what? Wisdom will continue to guide you in your decision making as you're married. As I said before, wisdom isn't just one of those things that you, you know, you get for a small portion of time and then you just do away with it. No, wisdom is on a day-to-day basis. Wisdom isn't a circumstance-by-circumstance basis. Wisdom is a decision-by-decision basis. And it will help you. Now, maybe you're here and you've got some marriage difficulties. Start using wisdom. Start using wisdom. An example. You know, a situation comes up. Things start getting heated in arguments. Voices start getting raised. You know what happens? We start playing the game of Battleship. You ever play that game? You're facing each other, but you don't know where the other person's ships are, and you just start firing salvo after salvo after salvo after salvo, trying to hit the other person's ship and sink them. And then once you've sunk their battleship, you think you've won. Don't treat marriage that way. Don't treat any conversation or disagreement that way. That is a good way to sink everybody's ships. And at that point in time, you know what? There is no winner. Because generally at the end of the argument, both parties are crying. Both parties are mad. Both parties are bitter. Don't engage in that. And I'll tell you, it'll be a challenge. It'll be a challenge. But as the Bible says, just to show you some of the wisdom, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Something happens, we immediately become defensive. Begin to ask yourself, how was it viewed from that person's perspective? Oh, ooh, oh, yeah, you know what? I should not have done that. I did not take that into consideration. I apologize. Will you forgive me? You know how quickly things get diffused when that happens? You know what happens and occurs? All of a sudden, you just, the Lord just comes in because you've done what is right. The Lord's presence there. And all of a sudden, that person's argument just goes, bleh, bleh, bleh. Because you've just asked that big question, will you forgive me? Now, they may just flat out tell you no. That's not, look, that's not for you to start firing cruise missiles at them. It's not for you to start dropping nukes, okay? You know what that is? You just say, I understand. But I pray that someday you will forgive me. Because I am truly, genuinely sorrowful I did that. That really diffuses a lot of things because a lot of the arguments come up when we start arguing back and forth. Because we start being prideful. We don't want to look bad. At the end of it, you know what? We all look bad if we're sitting there arguing back and forth. The neighbors hear us. People around us can sense that tension. Things of that nature, you know, look, the Lord knows exactly what we're capable of doing. And you know what he says? I'm going to give you a guidance so you don't have to do those things. So this is not just wisdom that's just for the youth that I'm using here as an example this, you know, these last few Sundays. This is for everybody to use. And the concept is this, is if you want to continue to build your house, build that temple that God is dwelling in your life, the way you do it is you use the wisdom of the Word of God that it comes from above to do that and to build it correctly. Don't be the foolish woman that plucks it down by her hands. And I'm even talking to the guys in the same thing, because we do it too. But the Lord said, I'll deliver you from those things. I'll deliver you from the bad decisions if you just simply make the right decision first to seek me. That's what God says. That's what God says. Don't align yourself with somebody that's forgotten God. In the next verse, in verse 18, here he talks about the consequences. Here's what happens. I mean, we understand that, in verse 15, he talks about the evil man, that the ways are crooked and the paths are froward. We understand what happens with that. Crooked paths and froward paths, perverse paths, things of that nature are things that are going to lead you into trouble. Things that are going to lead you into problems in your life. Well, the same thing is true here when we start talking about the strange woman. What does it do? It says, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. It leads to a dead life. It leads to the mindset where people are like, I just want out of this at all costs. It leads to that thing where it moves from just simple, normal sadness and depression that happens with everybody. It leads to that despair where people start thinking, I'm so miserable in my life, I want to end it. That's the bottom of the pit of despair, by the way. And you know what? Praise the Lord. As it says over in Psalm chapter 130, I was reading it the other day, you know, out of the depths cried I. And what is it that whole passage talk about, that whole chapter talks about? It talks about redemption and how plentiful God's redemption is. And he can redeem us and he can pull us out of that. And we don't have to go through that alone, because Christ can be there with us. We need to understand that concept. In verse 19, here he's talking about, he says, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. You know what happens? There's no growth. And a lot of times there's no coming back from it too. There's no coming back from it. I've seen men, man after man after man, leave a church because of the decision the wife makes. I've seen it happen, and it's sad. And you know what? They never come back to church. For some reason, men have this fatalist thing. It's just like, well, it's done. It's over with. And they hardly ever come back. I've also seen the same thing where a man who's supposed to be a head of a household walks away from God, and the struggle with the rest of the family, the struggle with the wife is this, is that the wife begins to have difficulties because now she's trying to lead a home without help, and she struggles spiritually. And there's a lack of spiritual growth because she has nobody to help her with that. So you can see how important it is to make that decision right. How important it is to begin to make decisions based upon the wisdom of God. And here's what God says, and I want you to see this. This is the promise. You know, over in 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he talks about that in use of, you know, kind of discerning the spirits. Trying the spirits, finding out whether they're of God or whether they're not. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that we get to see is the promises of God. God's promises are far greater than any promises that any man or any woman has ever made. And God will continue to deliver if we allow him to do that in our life. And the allowance comes from our obedience to seek after that wisdom, to use that wisdom, to receive that instruction, to make that decision what it's supposed to be according to the will of God. And I'll tell you this, when we look at it right here in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 2, we begin to see that great and precious promise. Now, when I start talking about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, now, we often talk about that in referring to the devil. Because he is in the world and he's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, Mike talked about that with his little encounter with his little cougar friend. But I'll tell you this. You know who else walks around in this world? Me. And you know what? God is greater than me. God is greater than my flesh. God is greater than my desires. God is greater than all of those things. And you know what? I have to understand that concept. Therefore, I'm going to believe the promises that God makes. I'm not going to treat him as another man. I'm not going to treat him in the way that other people treat and the way other treat other individuals. I'm not going to sit there and think he's lying. I'm not going to sit there and think that he's trying to pull the wool over my eyes or pulling my leg or whatever it may be. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking that he's promised these things. This is what the Word of God says. Therefore, he will do it. What does he say in verse 20? That thou mayest walk in the way of good men. That's the path you want to be on. When you're looking for a spouse, you want somebody that is walking in the path of goodness. Why? Because God is good. And if a person is walking in that path of godliness and goodness and mirroring the things of Christ and the way he behaves, then this is what's going to happen. You're going to walk in that path. And it, what does it say? That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. He'll keep you where you need to be. He'll keep you where you need to be. Verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. He begins to give a promise and he says, here's what I'm going to do. You seek that wisdom. Here's the promise. I will keep you and I will deliver you from those things. I will show you that that person is wrong for your life. I will show you that person is right for your life. I will show you that whether or not that person is of the will of the Lord or whether it's the will of ourselves or men. Because here's what the conclusion is. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. That's the person that doesn't follow wisdom of God. That's the person that makes different decisions than what God would do. That's contrary to him. I say all this to get to this point and bear with me. We'll close with this. These things that are given to us in Scripture are principles and promises that are true. But it comes down to, first and foremost, my son, in verse 1, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that thou incline thy ear to wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, in verse 5, the first word, then. God has made a promise. But if we don't do that, he says, there is an end to those people. And we don't want to be caught up with them. So he will show us specifically what his will is for our life. Let's not think of the will of God as unknowable. Let's not think of the will of God as not being able to be discerned. The will of God is discerned solely by this book right here. Not by our emotion, not by our feeling, not by our opinion, not by our thought, but by the principles and the promises that God has said. And from the very beginning, God made the promise. He will preserve us and keep us if we come to him. If you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, if you do not have the forgiveness of sins, if you do not know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I will tell you this. There is an end that you will not like. Make the decision, because his will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you, and he loved you enough to die on that cross for your sins and rise again from the dead to give you that home in heaven and eternal life. He did that for you. He demonstrated the greatest love. If you're here today and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and maybe this is causing you to reflect and think maybe on past decisions, look, don't live in the past. Live in the now. If you've gone to God and you've asked for forgiveness, then leave it there at the cross, okay? Don't pick it back up again. But you know what you do? You start using the Word of God right now to make that wisdom and decision. To make that judgment the right way. Start showing individuals in your life the wisdom of God. And you know what his greatest wisdom is? Is the salvation. Be a witness to those around you that are not saved. To those that do not know the love of God and the love of Christ the way that you do. The wisdom of the Word, the wisdom of God, will direct your paths. But you got to get it from him first. Come to the Lord today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time, and I thank you again for an opportunity, Lord, to receive instruction from you. Thank you so much for the promises that you've told us throughout all of this. Thank you again for these opportunities, Lord, for us to reflect and to think. But Lord, I pray that we would begin using that wisdom right now. That we would seek you. That we would affirm our faith in you. That we would affirm the truth of your word. That we would use it, Lord, for the wisdom that we need in this life to make the decisions and the judgments, whether it be a big one that's related to spouse or whether it's a small one about what we need to do in our day-to-day life. But Lord, I pray that we would just apply that wisdom of your word to our lives. I thank you again, Lord, for all you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, as we continue and we close with this hymn, as we continue in fellowship this day, that, Lord, you would clearly reveal to us how we are to live our lives, how we are to live for you. Thank you again for all that you've done. These things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.